Well, welcome. Day two of our continuing adventure in consciousness. All right, as we continue, today much more oriented to the present and the future, your connection to the world, and most important, in your evolutionary journey, in your emergence, always to remember the common thread is for you to more and more acknowledge, claim, remember, and own who you are, the divine being that you are, in your essence. Yes, in your daily life, you may not act as if you are this divine being. And other people may not act as they are divine beings. But you see, the tragedy of your culture, what is in a sense held it back for so long, twisted and distorted into the darkness, has been the manipulation by religion of people to believe that they are not worthy of divine experience, to keep people deliberately separate from the divine, to keep people thinking themselves not divine, unworthy, scum, you know, so that the priesthood or those who were at the top of the hierarchy of the religious order, whatever it is, would be the intercessor between the person and the divine. They would be seen as more holy, of course. They would be seen as more able to get connection to the divine, closer to the divine, and therefore whatever they said must be taken as gospel. Whatever their interpretations are must of written texts of scripture, etc., must be revered, respected, and followed. It maintained order in the ranks. It kept people from breaking free, people from having their own divine experiences. Even in India, where there is even a tradition of meditating and going into samadhi or divine experience, there is also tremendous amounts of structure and order around those who have more access or not. In the old system of India, the caste system was the way they maintained that hierarchy. They put it, it was religion entrenched into the whole culture. And you have noticed that in certain parts of the world that religions are entrenched into the actual culture, so that you cannot distinguish the society from the religion. That was an extension of religion beyond its real boundaries, its real usefulness as a method of control and power. And so, as a result, most people who want to have a connection with the divine engage themselves with religion, and in this process, learn how to feel shame. Learn how to reinforce their unworthiness. Learn how to stay separate more than stay connected to the divine. They are maintained at a child level to pray that God's will, whatever that may be, would be something pleasant, hopefully, that God would give them things. Much like a small child wanting a toy. Please, God, give me a good crop harvest. Please, God, let my children be healthy. But there was no sense at that time in the past, and even to those who do that now, there was no sensing, no awareness, that actually the path to spiritual connection to the divine was all that time within the self. And we are even amazed that the statement that Jesus made was actually retained in the New Testament, where he said, the kingdom of God is within you. We're so surprised. Because, well, now, isn't that giving some of their control away? It's there. It's within you. And he even said, you know, when you ask, know that it's being done. He's even saying, expect that your manifestations will come in alignment with you and your choices and your will. And they amazingly left that piece in too. It's just hints of what can be. So at this particular time on the planet, part of the great shift is people breaking out of the constraints and the restrictions of institutions, of control systems, of order systems. And it's even happening as within the institutions themselves. As we talked to a dear one yesterday, who is an art teacher, about expanding the potential within that system that is so limiting of education, to be able to touch those students, to lift them, to encourage them to become more creative, to expand their consciousness outside the limits that are generally given them. The same thing is happening also in religion. There are people who are finding new ways of expressing the divine through religious experience. But ultimately, the whole structure, the whole hierarchy, the whole control, the whole mechanisms of structure are going to crumble. Religion, all institutions are going to go through, including religion, that chaos we have been speaking of. You can see the Catholic Church already beginning, but this is going to occur in other religions as well, in other denominations. It's just part of the great shift. People, individuals within the system, finding ways to bring forth the divinity, to step out of the shame, to step out of the inadequacy, the sense of guilt, continuous guilt. And when that happens, or as that happens for each individual, you'll find that you will restore your vitality, your health, emotionally, mentally, and ultimately physically as well. You're moving into an era in which there's going to be an enhanced longevity. Not longer in the nursing home, okay, but but longer vital, longer energetic, charged up, feeling passion through the physical body. It's coming, and you're going to be part of this. Your experience, your personal experience. So your personal mission, as we have mentioned before, is to discover who you are, to acknowledge that, to own it, to claim it, that you are a divine being who chose to forget your divine origins, so that you could come here to physical plane experience, to this particular planet where there was this incredibly interesting experiment going on of consciousness, where there was a blending of DNA from various star systems beings with the earthlings to bring and create a new order of human being. And now, moving to another order, a higher order of spiritual being. Not through the same method, not through tinkering in a laboratory. But this time, tinkering in the laboratory, perhaps you might say, of your consciousness. To acknowledge that seed of divine that is part of your DNA. It is part of your essence. You cannot ever get rid of it. It is not ever going to be not there. It is your core. It is your essence. And when we ask you to focus your attention on your point of consciousness, on your awareness, and seek the source of that awareness, We're asking you to tune in to the link, the connection, the seed planted in you that remembers who you are, the seed of your divinity, a diamond, you might say. And while you may see yourself as a diamond in the rough, for sure, inside yourself is a beautifully polished gemstone, sparkling, radiant, reflective, shining your light. Your evolution, your level of evolution, your experience of evolution for yourself is to return to that light, for it to be a part of your life, for it to be more real for you than all that negative self-talk with the guilt, the shame, the inadequacy, the sense of unworthiness or loss of value or unlovability. Because you are none of those things. You are of infinite value and worth. You have no idea. So why would you have forgotten who you were to come here to be part of an experiment? We would say this particular planet, as we mentioned earlier, has more species almost than any other planet. It's a planet of creativity. And you came here to experience creating. Now, if you knew who you were, creativity would be a snap. You could manifest like instantly, like you do on the other levels. A part of you remembers that too, finds the time lag very frustrating. But on the other levels, you could just say, I'd like to have a big house right here. Okay. You think about it, you imagine it, it begins to form in physical matter. On other planets, they actually do this. It's like when the young people leave the nest, right? And they go out, they decide to have it their home. They construct it through thought and manifest it. If you want a nice view over the ocean and a beautiful high-rise peak and look down on the ocean, and, you know, all the places seem to be taken, well, then you can create your own knoll, your own mountain there, and put your house on top of it if you want. You can go anywhere you want to by thought. Teleport, no problem. So when you come here, of course, you feel extremely limited. But the idea was to forget who you were so that you could explore the possibility, the idea of creating from scratch. Just creating from the void, from the unknown, from nothing. As divine beings, this is the essential creation, the original creation, you might say, of the divine, of God, God is all that is that there was nothing. There was a void. The light shone across the deep. And out of nothing came something. So in a way, your whole reality is built on the principle of chaos. Where there is a void, where there is a nothing, where there's a pivot, where there's a place where you go into the nothing. And from the nothing, you create something. It's in the nothing that you connect with who you are and your creative force, which is part of your divine nature. So you decided to come and create and see what you got. If you didn't know you were divine and couldn't do it instantly, what would you do? And you were going to use tools of consciousness. You were going to use thoughts and feelings and ideas and beliefs. And you're going to work with this material, this mental material, to create something that's unique to you. Of course, with the advent of the institutions of religion, with the whole situation of survival-oriented cultures, which is part of the necessary development on the planet. These cultures have outlived their usefulness, and now they're just trying to put out fires, wildfires. They're trying to put out fires because they're trying to avoid chaos. And when you avoid chaos, you lose your free will. Or at least you don't have access to it. And that's what institutions tend to do, is that they establish this is the order, this is the rules, this is the regs, this, you know, your own will. If it does not align with this, you are an outcast. You're not okay. You're not allowed. You're not accepted. We don't want you here. You're too much chaos. But they cannot squelch the human spirit. Even in the darkest days of the Soviet Union, there were still artists, poets, people who stretched the boundaries. Everywhere, there is a rise of self-determination, a reclaiming of free will. It's part of your nature. You must do it. You must become self-determined. You cannot let anyone else tell you what to think, what to feel. Everything that works for you in your evolution will be aligned to what is in your essence, your divine nature. Because when you choose, when you will, when you activate and manifest, the higher frequency you acknowledge of yourself, the higher level of manifestation you can do. That's why we emphasize, know who you are, claim it, even if you don't believe it, because you still got those voices trained through centuries of culture, through millennia of culture, that you're unworthy and that you're full of crap and you don't know how to do anything and you're stupid and all that kind of stuff. Or you just don't do it well enough or good enough. You have to, in a sense, get beyond that. You have to heal those voices. Because when you heal your shame, that essential feeling of lackfulness of spirituality, shame is what makes you feel you are not divine. That you do not have a divine nature. That you're some kind of lump of clay that seems to be activated and you're bumping into walls all the time. Some idiot that, you know, needs a lot of help to get along because you just can't seem to do it all right. That piece that's left over in there from childhood, it got implanted in your DNA. After 7 generations of shame, it became part of your DNA. So that's why, you know, a lot of times in the Bible, when they would say, okay, we're going to heal you 7 generations back. Or the sins, you know, of the fathers will be visited upon the sons 7 generations into the future. What they're talking about is that if you maintain a certain frequency, a certain belief, 7 generations, it becomes actually part of the DNA encoded in there. And you're born with it. All of you were born with it. So it doesn't take very much for you to buy into the whole concept at a very early age. But you see, in the light chaos, when you can utilize the light chaos, when you can make that pivot and move into it, you can integrate more of who you are, you can claim more of who you are, you can heal that shame, you can shift the frequency, and it will shift your own DNA. You can clean up your own DNA. Now, it doesn't mean, though, because this is a whole new experiment level, and the great shift is not about the tradition and the way it has always been. You don't need to have children who have children who have children who have children, 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 children before you're clean. All right? If you can shift your DNA, anyone can. And that applies to anyone on the planet alive today, if they're willing to let go of the shame. This is the big piece. This is the core piece of your evolution. This is the core piece of your happiness, the ecstasy of the divine, the core piece of your destiny, the core piece of your personal mission to realize who you are. And from that, your global mission, the core piece as well. Because your mission is to clear your own DNA. Because if you can do it, the template is there. And everyone else will eventually be able to do it. There's a morphogenic field created with each one that steps out of the box of shame, ends it, closes the door behind them, and does not go back. You enter a field of change that impacts everyone, makes that everyone has access to through their unconscious mind, through the collective. You change the collective. You ooch it a little bit more. But every piece that's available, a great gift to yourself and a great gift to your world. So that's why you don't have to go out and do seminars unless you want to. Write books, get on TV, spread the word, tell everybody, have massive email lists and do your blog. You know, you don't have to unless you want to. If it's fun, great, go for it. But if you can clean the shame out of you, every person you touch, every person you communicate with, even a clerk at a supermarket, gets a link, gets a connection to the possibility of this freedom, the possibility of the divine connection for themselves. They don't know it. You've not been conscious of it. You're an ambassador. You're of your own light. So it's imperative for you to clean up, to heal those inner voices that would suggest that you're unworthy. But most people who try to do that get snagged up in ego. Ego is your first challenge as you descended into physicality. And it's your last challenge as you ascend into full spiritual functioning. Because the ego has the facade of perfection. The ego has the facade of divinity. You're not fooling anybody with the facade, but yourself. Tremendous self-delusion comes with the ego. And then there are those who see it. So many of you are so aware of where other people are coming from, what other people are doing. And even some of you can read and hear other people's thoughts and orientation. And from that, you deduce that ego facade, that if you think highly of yourself, you're stuck up, you're an idiot, and you're just an asshole or something even worse, right? Well, I don't want to go there. So I'm not going to look proudly upon myself. I'm going to be humble. I'm going to focus on my flaws and my faults. See, I'm going to be a good person. Good people spend all their time fixing themselves, right? Improving themselves. But you see, that's also ego too. And that's the ego trap. The ego trap comes when you compare yourself to another. The ego trap comes when you see yourself as flawed, damaged goods. And when you try to improve that, you're putting on a facade, I'm a good spiritual person. I'm actually better than other people because I'm addressing my flaws. I'm fixing myself. I'm a good person. It's all comparison with that stuffed shirt over there. See, they're not a good person because they're boasting and bragging about themselves and thinking so highly of themselves. They look at the mirror at themselves all day long. I'm better than that. I'm spiritual. Therefore, I'm going to get down. I'm rolling up my sleeves, get down into the nitty gritty and do my work and process and face my crap. I'm not saying ignore your crap, okay? But if you get the ego in there, then it becomes a stuck routine. It becomes a groove that becomes a rut, and you don't see your way out of it. The rut eventually gets so deep it's over your head. You don't even see that you're in a rut anymore. You're just walking along this channel. Okay, I'm trying to stay one foot ahead of the other, and I'm trying to move forward now. So the key here of knowing who you are, the essence of knowing who you are, means that you've got to distill out the ego, the negative part of that ego. Now, there's a positive aspect of ego. If you don't clear the negative aspect of the ego, if you don't understand how it functions and how it works and fall for its stupid lies and its facade, it's a sense of comparison and better than, what you'll end up doing is you will not end up manifesting worth a darn except more crap that's totally in frequency alignment with the ego, the negative part of the ego. The positive part of the ego actually is your link and your connection to physical plane. It's the transference point. It's the point of giving and receiving. It's critical for manifestation. It's critical for living your life on the physical plane in a happy way. If you have an issue about your self-image that comes up with any manifestation you choose to make, the negative ego will sabotage that manifestation. If you know who you are and you ask for a manifestation, you link through positive ego. There's a channel. You send your intention through the ego to your world. Clean. You're clean. You're not having an agenda of self-interest image-wise. You send it through there. You're not trying to control or manipulate or be better than or get on top of anybody else. It's all clean. It's loving, free, empowered, trusty. You send that choice for manifestation through the channel of ego, which is your boundary with physical. And they'll bring it back to you. What is of that frequency? What is of that resonance will be attracted to you. Your world will send you, will give you, Mother Earth will send you what you would like in the appropriate form to your desire. Positive ego is essential for manifesting. So you see how important it is to get rid of the shame. Because otherwise, you're not going to get what you want on the planet. You're always going to get some. You'll notice that what you do manifest. And we want to congratulate you. You are good at it, okay? You do manifest a lot of stuff. You can manifest some money. You can manifest, you know, maybe some transportation, a place to live. You can manifest some stuff. You can manifest sometimes really nice stuff. The only stuff that you manifest, though, really well, is stuff that's not involved with your comparisons with other people and your self-image. Because if you have that orientation in there, if you have a desire to manipulate or control, if you want to have order and no chaos, then your channel is contaminated. So clearing the ego channel is very essential. When we help people link up to their physical reality, their physical world, even if we don't mention it, like that last meditation, we have to get your frequency way up there. Make sure you're clean and then link you so that your ego is connected properly. Now, the way that you find where your ego is and the way you learn to work with physical plane is through interactions with others. That's a lot. The major part of your feedback and any relationships that you are in are huge accelerators of your spiritual journey, huge accelerators of your self-awareness, huge accelerators of change. You cannot enter into a deep, emotionally intense experience with another person without changing. You just can't do it. Because every person out there is reflecting something back to you, functioning as your reality, loving, supportive reality, saying, you need to pay attention to this. Now, you don't have to focus on your flaws, defects, and fix yourself. Universe is really helpful. It will bring you people who will tell you exactly what you need to hear, right? To give you the impetus to become aware. You don't need to go out there and look for anything, right? It comes beautifully to you. Every person you're attracted to in a personal one-on-one relationship has just the right stuff for you. You know what it's like. You know that when you meet that special someone, there's this kind of magnetism. There's this kind of, woo, we really are connected. Oh, yeah, exactly, exactly. You and your reality are beautifully connected, and you got the channel open now. You can get your feedback, you know. Beyond that feedback, utilizing that feedback from a empowered place, will enable you not only to have wonderful relationships, but it accelerates your spiritual growth in major leaps and bounds. Because in the eyes of the other, you see your soul reflected. You see the divine. Now, the illusion is that the divine you're seeing is theirs. Yeah, you can be seeing theirs. But actually, what you're seeing, it's like a reflection of yours shining back to you. It's a love. When you see someone, you have someone you love, and they look at you with the eyes of love, your whole reality is saying, you are loving. And we, your partner, reality, your partner, loves you. We're connected on a high level. And you know how good that feels? Anything that you think that makes you feel bad needs to be healed. Everything that you think that lifts you and you feel good when you think it is part of a higher frequency for you. Now, when you feel good, you must distinguish. Is it you feeling good? Or is it your ego interpretation of good? Always be careful. Always be aware. The ego will have your facade. If you do or say or think things that make your facade look better, feel better, more powerful, more potent, more interesting, more, you know, then you might be pumping up your ego. So the key here is for you to know when you're working with your facade and when you're working with yourself. The facade has an agenda. The agenda is to get other people to like you, to love you, to value you, to appreciate you, to respect you, to honor you. And anything that you do, put together to feel confident, let's say, to go out the door and do your work. If you have to pump yourself up to feel confident, if you have to pump yourself up to be able to handle an intense emotional experience, like a relationship, if you have to pump yourself up to sit down and have a heart-to-heart talk with someone, you're pumping up your ego. In personal relationships, very often at the beginning of a relationship, both people are in good behavior. They have their facades up. And they fall for each other's facades. That's how you know you're connecting with your crap, right? The universe says, oh, great. Mm-hmm. This person has a facade and you have your facade. And this is going to be really juicy learning material. But you know, at some point in the relationship is the first argument. The facades start to crumble. Or you get intimate. You get closer and closer and closer, closer and closer and closer, and all of a sudden, where did the facades go? I feel unsafe. I feel vulnerable. I'm scared. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And you run. You back away. You zone out. Escape. Now, we are describing relationships, of course, that are typical of adolescent and young adult style functioning. Because it's not based on wisdom and knowing who you are. But at the place where you are now, any relationship that you engage with, any person that you interact with or you want to get close to, you have to be willing to be seen. You have to be willing to be visible without any facade. You have to dismantle your own facade. And this is the change that great, good relationships trigger. It's the breaking down of the old structure, the chaos. And the old structure is the facade. Then you can truly connect with another person through positive ego. Then you can build a new relationship. You can build and create something together. You know, as the old saying goes, God created, you know, the universe and and the world and people and so on because he was lonely. In a sense, yeah, God wanted to play. So God created other to play, to give reflection to the ecstasy. God wanted to be able to share. And so do you. So we recommend in your daily life that every person that you interact with, remind yourself, this person is a divine light being having a physical plane experience. And see if you can risk taking off your facade. You know, there are people who are never going to attack you. They don't know you. They don't care to know you. You know, people that you see, you know, in stores or, you know, in shopping centers and people that you see at a theater or whatever. These are people that you just pass by there, you know, or maybe you might, you know, buy some popcorn at the theater and, you know, give them a few, you know, whatever it costs now. not just a few quarters now. you give your credit card. You know. And you can do it anywhere. Take your facade down. You don't need the protection. Your reality is actually safe. Practice it. Practice it. Don't go out in the world and think, oh, okay, is my hair just right? Or my clothes just right? How do I look? And, you know, I got to walk like so, and I got to da-da-da-da-da, so that I get walked into this movie theater, and people say, oh, there goes somebody cool. And we're kind of exaggerating a little bit. But there's a part of you that gets very self-conscious. The remnant left over of your adolescent period. Sometimes when you interact with people, you wonder, oh, am I interacting well? You know, is like, for example, some of you who might be writers, you know, when you want to express something, you're kind of doing your writer's craft while you're speaking. Okay, am I saying it correctly and precisely and so on? And others of you are saying, just throwing the words out there, hope that, you know, they hit and other person understands what in the heck I'm saying. But whatever you do, it's like it's part of the routine. It's part of the game of your image. You're holding a self-image while you're doing it. So see if you can just kind of lose a sense of your boundaries of your self-image. Now, a lot of people are frightened. Oh, my gosh, if I let go of my boundaries, I'm going to absorb all sorts of negativity and weird crap from other people. No. Only if you're looking at yourself and judging yourself and thinking you have a lot of weird crap inside you, yes, then you probably will pick it up because it's in alignment and frequency with you. But if you're going as your light being, as a divine light being, having a physical plane experience, and seeing every little mundane activity as an adventure of consciousness in the physical plane. Here we are going out into the illusion, you know, shining in the light. Hey, a light being, here we are shining our light, radiating our love. Let's see how much love, how much freedom, how much power, how much safety can just be part of my essence today. And every person that you see, talk to, standing in line at the movie theater or at the supermarket or wherever it is, send love. Just say, oh, there's a divine light being. Just send them love. Maybe a light from your heart to theirs. Just shine your light. Look at this beautiful illusion. Look at all these beautiful people, all these beautiful energies. Wow. You're not going to pick up any negativity when you do that. Why? Because the force and the dynamic of your divine flow is moving from you out into your world and touching your world. If you go around shrunk up, thinking afraid of your world, your aura is small, then you receive too much. And we're not saying receiving in the positive sense. You're getting dumped on because your attitude about you will attract more of same to you. That's why shame is imperative to get rid of. Because the world needs you to radiate your light. For you to pick up other people's crap is not acceptable anymore. Okay? Maybe when you were in your martyrhood years, right? Where you were going to be noble and you were going to save the world and you were going to help this person. Oh, yes, I'm going to help this person. I'm going to give to this person. You end up taking on their stuff. It's not acceptable anymore as a light being. It's imperative for you to have the net direction of flow being outward from you to others. You will not get depleted, we guarantee. You get depleted when you take on other people's stuff. When you identify too much with them. Actually, it's your projections and your imagination projected on them that you're identifying with. If you are a counselor, a coach, and someone comes to you, don't identify with them. You know that. You will know whatever crap there is that you need to process in a session. But the real trick for it is to keep people oriented to the future. That's why traditional psychology is on its way out, because it's focused on, let's focus on the problem. Let's focus on the past. What happened at age 4? Let's focus on that. Let's do research, because that means you'll keep coming back to my office over and over and over again for years. And this is a nice steady income for me. Thank you very much. That's why coaching is a bit more volatile and not as safe and secure a field. Because the orientation is to the future. The orientation is to let that person, help that person leverage into a new level of themselves. To gain that true inner confidence that comes from tapping in to their own inner resources. So that they can create a better future for themselves. And if you do that, you're sitting with them, holding the resonance of light and love, freedom, empowerment, and safety. What are they going to pick up? What's going to help them get into that future? These four basic frequencies. Essentially, your session will be a radiance session. Don't worry, you will understand exactly what to say, when to say it. You're trained, right? Those of you who are coaches and counselors. You won't have any problem figuring out what to do, what to say. Don't worry, you're in the resonance. It's all about that. You're in a field of energy, and you're going to lift them to your frequency. That's what healing is. Healing is lifting to a higher frequency. In which the negativity, the limitation, the pattern, the structural pattern of the old order that is so, so limiting gets transcended, at least temporarily, so the person can get an idea of what greater functioning is about, what the possibilities and potentials are. Then the symptoms can drop away. If they can anchor into that higher energy, they will not fall back into the malady or the issues or the patterns. The patterns will become so crystal clear, conscious and aware that as soon as they start showing up in their inner thoughts, the person can catch it and stop it right in its track. And you've had that experience yourself where your old pattern of, you know, naysayer within yourself would show up at certain trigger incidences And in that triggered incidence, that naysayer show up, and you'd catch it rather than fall for it. You'd say, there's that voice saying the old, same old crap. Ha-ha, I don't have to respond to that now. And that's why we emphasize that when you get to a place of greater awareness, then the patterns of limitation and the resistances that you have knee-jerk, automatically let yourself fall into, you'll find that they become very, very crystal clear apparent as they show up. And you can laugh. And you laugh. It's funny. There it is again. Ha! There you are, ego again. There you are, you know, trying to build up the facade right now. There you are, fear. There you are, trapping, entrapment pattern. But I see you now, and I have choice. And I do not choose you anymore. I do not choose you right now. I'm going to choose something else. I'm going to choose another response to this trigger, to this situation. It's in that place you have the what we call the point of power. The point of power is where you're aware in the here and now, and you see what that you have choice. When you're in that point of power, you can make vast changes in your life without suffering. You can learn and grow without pain. It's in that point of power that you, in essence, connect with who you are, with the light that you are. And you give yourself authority and you give yourself permission to make your choice according to who you are. You have created, as a divine being that you are, others in your world. You have created an ego to help you connect with others and connect with the world. These will only function if you keep emphasizing and remembering, I am a divine light being. I am divine. This doesn't mean I'm better than everybody, because everybody else is too. There's no comparisons. But I am going to shine my light. I am going to radiate my light, my love. I'm going to stay free and empowered. And I'm going to trust the divine plan that I and my higher self have for me. And I trust the feedback I get from my reality is going to show me what I need to know. It's going to give me all the messages, the omens, if you will, that tell me what I need to pay attention to and what, where my choices are, to remind me I am in choice. The option to take your old path, your old limitations will always be available. But if you stay in choice, you'll catch it before you fall for it. That's the easy way to grow. But it's through awareness. And you've given yourself all sorts of wonderful people on the planet to play with. Everywhere you go, it's your playground. The divine play, Lila. The divine play, every human being you can play with, every human being you could love totally and completely, unconditionally. Even the nastiest, baddest assholes. But it's, of course, your choice who you want to hang out with, of course. And that's not because, oh, I'm going to hang out with this person because this person's better than that person. That's an ego validation, right? Ego says, this person, I've judged this person to be better than that person. So I'm going to hang out with this person so I don't pick up any negativity like that person would have. So where are you when you have think that way? You've just lost your power. You've forgotten who you are. Now, we're not saying, you know, make a special effort to go out and hang out with criminals, you know, or something. You know, Jesus demonstrated it. He hung out with all sorts of low life. And people said, why are you hanging out with all those low life? He basically told them, well, they're divine too. Sometimes a low life doesn't have the same whole ego trip that the ones who with great bluster have. So be aware of yourself all day. Now, this is not vigilance. Vigilance is being aware and being aware of everything with an orientation to defense and protection. Vigilance stresses out your body hugely. Vigilance is what it is. That ongoing vigilance is where you work for somebody and you fear that the hatchet's going to drop on you anytime. You're going to get fired anytime. You're under major stress. Why? Because you're powerless when you're in vigilance. You're frightened. You fear the future. Your nervous system is stressed to the max. Your adrenals are pumping. And you can get exhausted. You can get worn out. Your adrenals will be worn out. It's not about vigilance, because that implies it's all very unsafe. Be aware. And you'll find as you're aware, you get freer and freer in your thoughts. You get better thoughts, lighter thoughts, fewer thoughts. You begin to feel a divine flow. You're in the flow. Why they call it, for athletes, in the zone. For an athlete, in the zone is where when they train and they train, they build up and they build up their stamina and so on, that when they're actually in the game, when they're actually running the marathon or whatever it is, they reach this point where it seems that their stamina is endless. They're in a flow. They're like in a column of light and they're just going. That's being in the zone. You get in the zone too by your awareness. If you find yourself scatterbrained, if you find yourself wandering off, not paying attention to things, that's because you don't feel happy in the physical. You've got judgments about the physical plane. You're angry. Angry turns into boredom. You're impatient, that's boredom and angry. You're annoyed with people. You're annoyed with life. You're fearful of things. That's no way to live, dear ones. And while you've rooted out so many of these, and you know how big a job that has been, and how far you have come, we encourage you to root out the rest of them. Let it go now. Let the rest of those thoughts go. Let the rest of those nagging little things, those little limitations, let them go. So that you can enjoy people of all kinds, whether they're unconscious, or whether they are enlightened beings, you can enjoy them all. You'll find precious, loving beings everywhere. Everywhere. And it will thrill you. You will feel your heart warm, flowing, overflowing with love. Wherever you are. Think about it, standing in the supermarket filled with ecstasy, loving everyone, loving your world, feeling an incredible, rich flow of light and power and divine force through you. You know, one of the things that people do when they take teacher plants, or we would call them chemicals of growth. Okay. They take trips, alter their consciousness, expand their consciousness. If you've ever had one of those, there's a place where you can get into the flow where all is one. And it's an ecstatic place. We're not talking about the bad trips, all right? Where you get into your terror. Absolutely, you can freak out if you give in to your terror. But when you can give in to your love on one of those experiences, you can feel the air almost as this golden crystal liquid light. It's thick. Thick with love. Thick with energy. Everything has substance. And you're in the flow of it. It all moves in a divine harmonic flow. That's when people get their ecstatic visions and their links. Now, some of you have done that through meditation. But that's when you know you're in the zone. Now, in the past, when you get there, you don't think you can function in the physical plane. That's why you set aside time, you go to a particular location, you stay there all night or whenever it is. You have somebody to watch over you so that you don't go and do something absolutely, absurdly stupid to yourself. But you see, in a way, that level of ecstasy is where you're going. That's your evolution. And it's going to not only be able to coexist with your world, but it will be your world. And it will be filled with ecstasy. And you will not be overwhelmed by it. Because you won't have any bad stuff coming up. You'll be fully present, and you'll be staying connected to the world at the same time. You'll be connected because your ego will be functioning. So many people, when they take their journeys like ayahuasca or LSD or MDMA, there's an ego death period that happens. It's where the facade comes off, and they enter the chaos of the journey. You have this in life. You don't even need a chemical to do it. But if you do it with deliberate consciousness, connecting into who you are, man, you're on a trip. A great trip. A great journey. And grounded to your world as well. We've talked about a matrix. The matrix, the four principles, the love, freedom, empowerment, and safety, trust. And going the other way, channels of dynamic. The three channels, the connecting channel, love, touch, heal. The creative channel, imagine, desire, with passion, move, force, create something pleasurable for yourself. Experience the pleasure and the ecstasy. And the third channel, the learning channel, the learn and grow and become more aware, more present, and more aware of who you are. These three channels of dynamic were the four points of resonance. Form a grid. It's a multidimensional grid. It's not a box. It's very analogous, actually, to your kundalini pattern. You have three channels of kundalini. The one that goes up the center of the spine is called the sukhmana. It goes directly up. We've been working with that one. But you also have the Ida and the Pingala. And these are like helixes that spiral around on each side. They spiral. You've seen it in the caduceus, which is a symbol for medicine. It was in the Bible in the desert. Israelites were lost. The male energy lost in floundering, right? There's a joke about that. That's the reason they wandered for 40 years is that the men couldn't stop and ask for directions. But when they were at their most desperate peak, Moses comes and holds up a cross, a long cross, long vertical axis, shorter horizontal axis, and on it, the snakes intertwining. The connection to the divine within, that's symbolic. The cross, earth, symbolizing earth, physical plane. And the snakes, the kundalini, the divine force within. This is your orientation. What we would like to do is a meditation with you. We're going to do it at the end of the segment before launch, in which we're going to take you and do a healing work with you with the grid. We're going to install the grid. All right? Install the grid in you. It's in your essence, in your DNA, in your structure, your new structure. We're starting to build a new structure. This is the foundation of the new structure. You've dismantled the old. We've helped you release the resistances to the new. We've talked about being. Now, let's create the foundation for the new structures so that they become automatic for you. All right? But for now, where are we at? Where shall we? Shall we do a break? Or? All right. All right, let's do a break now. How many minutes? 15-minute break, all right? And then we'll have questions and interactions. My, have we been enjoying this time with you? Farewell for now.